Greetings, adventurers, and welcome to Geekly Inc.'s Random Encounters, Adventures in Norhal, Curse of Strahd Edition. My name is Joshua Scalf, and I am your Game Master. Joining me today is Matthew Morris.
Big Fuzzy Trucker Nerd says, the randomness. I love the experimental feeds, the regular feeds. It's all good here. Give it a listen. Go now. Listen. 5 stars.
Tim Lanning.
It's great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Jennifer Cheek.
Hey, everyone.
Matt Sperlin.
I'm so sad everyone missed Tim doing a dab.
And Howard Tarpley.
Hey, we're starting this late because you couldn't hear me the first time.
Hey, just blame it on... I like to believe that the reason why Howard's microphone would not work is because Jennifer did not have her spell selected.
Listen.
So it worked out.
That is probably true. Some of us are more prepared than others. Me, maybe less than most. So we'll see what happens in this.
The moon is in Gatorade, so who knows?
Super Gatorade.
So who knows?
My co-star said that I am having pressure in spirituality today.
That's why you took the
spirits. Oh, no, sorry. Pressure in work and social life and trouble with spirituality. So good luck playing with me today.
So today we are doing the thing that we like to do every other year when we accidentally cannot schedule a friggin' session for many, many months.
Turns out when you're an adult and you're trying to schedule things with a lot of other adults, it is nearly impossible to make
it
happen.
Yeah, it's
really bad.
So having this jobs? No, thank you. It's bad.
This is a Curse of Norhal episode. Curse. Are we calling it four? We call the... I think this is three.
It's technically five.
Yeah, oh, five. Okay.
Right, because it...
Because well, there's zero?
No, we didn't do a zero. No.
You counted zero as one.
Yeah. I counted zero as one for how we save it. Now are we going... We should probably just do that. No episode zero.
It's episode five.
This episode
it's
five.
It's easier.
Episode 5, yeah, that's
it's gonna... It's session 3.
It'll be episode 1, titled episode 0.
Yeah, there we go.
I love
this
it.
Session this zero. Isn't getting better.
And then episode 2 will be episode 2.
Colon,
and like,
episode 0.
Drunks and Dragons.
Oh, no.
Swords and Sobriety.
It's our third session.
It's a... yeah.
I was not here for the last
one. But this is our first episode of 4 that we're doing today.
Yeah.
Wait, so since Drunks and Dragons changed their name to Greetings Adventurers, can this be called Pickup Group now?
What?
Because that would imply people constantly changing out.
Well, yeah, there's like 3 different game feeds on this.
That is true.
I guess that's true.
That is true.
Oh, you're talking about the Random Encounters?
Yeah. Random Encounters turned into Pickup Group.
Tim, you want to tell everybody in the stream just once again what we are also doing today, since this is a momentous marathon occasion we're working on?
Yes, I'd love to. We are raising money yet again for the Trevor Project. The Trevor Project is the official Geekly Inc. / Greetings Adventurers charity. They do amazing things for LGBTQIA plus people. Mostly teens, to avoid such horrible things as self-harm, doubts, and suicide, and the whole gamut of things of that nature, helping making folks feel less alone. It's always been a cause near and dear to our hearts. But since we're recording for longer than one session,
and it's June, it's
and
Pride
it's June,
month.
It's Pride. We're like, F it. Let's throw the link up. Let's give away a few things.
Get a few more bones in there.
Yeah. I'm going to open up the Twitch giveaway for the first prize, which is the Ghosts of Saltmarsh book, which we'll ship to you. Maybe I'll bite it. I don't know.
Yeah, lick it.
Maybe I'll bite it.
One of the pages and don't tell them which one.
We'll show you.
Teeth marks are better than autographs.
That's so true.
Yes. And we're not going to do it based on who donates, just because, you know, people have donated to our previous stuff, and it's been a long month of people. We want to raise more awareness, obviously. Money is good to do good things in the hell world we live in, but there's a million different charities, so raising awareness and just talking about it is worthwhile to my heart as well.
Yeah.
We've already raised over $10,000.
Yeah.
So the Geekly Inc. community is amazing. So I'm gonna open up the giveaway in just one moment for those of you on Twitch.
Well, while Tim goes ahead and gets the giveaway set up, does everybody else want, well, except Jennifer, since we're going to be filling her in on
You guys tell me what happened.
you guys want to roll a d20, and we'll see who has to tell us what went on.
Don't use d20s in Dungeon World, though.
Okay, roll a d6.
Okay. Can we roll 2d6?
God damn it. I'll be right back. I don't have dice.
I got 7.
Oh my god, Matt.
Look, I'm new.
I got 4.
4. Matthew?
7.
7.
Oh, God.
I'm not doing it.
Timothy's not even rolling.
Because I'm doing to the elves.
Oh. Oh, this is for extra experience. I'll roll for extra experience.
Actually, yeah. That's what I'm going to actually start doing. Instead of rolling, if you do the recap, you get an experience.
What?
I'm going to level
up
at that time.
That's a deal. Yeah.
So would you like me, for chat's sake, we'll say, would you like me to recap the last 2 episodes?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do the last 2
All
episodes.
Right. So at the beginning of the 2 sessions ago, we were fighting some wolves. We had gone through about a round of combat, I want to say, and then we just kept going at it. let's see. Mort and Rexar ended up getting wounded in combat. And eventually at some point the wolves just kind of like stopped fighting us. There was a little bit go ahead.
They mysteriously howled and then regrouped and ran away.
It was great. We wandered down to a road where we found a mule drawn cart. And the driver, whose name is Standar, was looking for us on behalf of Madam Ava. He gives us a ride. And let's see. We pass through a town, which is quite eerie and quiet. And then we eventually come up to a camp of, I believe we decided to call them Bohemian folks.
They are the Vistani.
Vistani folks.
Their style is very Bohemian and, I guess, Roma inspired, if you had to use a real world analog. Yeah.
At the beginning of the last episode, we were introduced to a halfling woman named Madam Ava, who told us that the Lord of Barovia, whose name is Strahd, has willed us here and that the wolves we fought were his. And we can't leave just because we want to. We're stuck in Barovia. She tells our fortune using some tarot cards. And the 3 cards that come up are the Master, the Innocent, and the Necromancer. She and the tent and the whole Vistani village disappear, and then Mort throws up because he ate too many cookies. We go back to the town and enter the tavern, where we chat up the Alec the bartender, who I call Boring, kind of a robotic, if you will, figure, but it was like a pale half-orc, if I remember. We ended up sitting with the town's mayor named Ismark, who is quite drunk and he's got a bum leg. He ends up taking us back to the mayor's manor as a welcome to us as new people in town. We kind of figure out that something's going on in this town. And at the end of the episode, we are going into the manor.
Now, a couple things, just as a reminder there. He is the newly appointed mayor after his father passed away a few days ago, right before this. So he is, newly appointed mayor. You were right, definitely had a bum leg. He really liked you guys, emphasizing you guys are just so nice to him, and he really just
appreciates that. Oh, no, he got charmed.
He did get charmed. He was just so appreciative, though, that you guys were actually being nice to him.
Yeah.
Josh is giving me extremely JoJo vibes. Like a combo of, like, Diamond is Unbreakable and Stardust Crusaders with the, like, tarot and, like, a town where weird shit is happening.
A little bit.
Oh, my
God.
I'm into it. I'm super into it.
And when he took you back to his house, one of the things that you did note is that his house, while being the nicest and largest house in town, it was fucked up.
Oh yeah. I mean, all of the like windows and like doors were boarded up. I think we caught somebody watching us through a window.
That was more when Mort was kind of watching out to make sure you weren't being followed. He actually caught an eye that, okay, these aren't all abandoned buildings in this town. And for Jennifer's benefit, the town that they are in, It is extremely quiet.
Okay.
They have established that, yes, there are people here, it looks like, but all of these houses are just in various states of disrepair.
Very derelict.
It is not a happy-looking town. Yeah, very derelict town.
Now, is Ember around while this has been happening, or did they...
She shat herself and died.
Noah!
They shat themselves and died.
Noah!
Reroll your character.
So, I didn't know if I was just, like, in the background, like, not really doing it, or did I run into the woods?
You ran off into the woods, and you were swallowed by the mists. What I'm going to go ahead and say is your motivation is you kept running, and eventually, finally, you made your way through the woods. You got to the village, and you actually found this house, this being the nicest one. Let's go ahead and say you knocked on the door, and Irina let you in.
Okay.
So you'll already be in the house when we get started with this.
Josh, that's not fair.
Yeah, Josh.
She died.
I never said she died.
Well,
she
did lose her backpack, though.
She did lose her backpack.
That's true. Jennifer, get rid of all your shit. Remember on Game of Thrones?
Wait, are we going into a house?
Yes.
No.
Is it Spell of Death?
Now.
Wait. Does Roxar not like houses?
Matt is very suspicious of my motives here. Now, before we get started, there is one thing we didn't do at the end of last session that you're supposed to do, but we were short on time with the recording and we need to do it, and that is the end of session stuff. So this is the other way, besides failing in combat, for characters to get experience points. Typically those come from resolving or going through bonds. Jennifer, I'll work with you separately on bonds and we'll get through that. Everybody else kind of wrote theirs last session.
Cool.
The other question, that we have to ask is to look at everybody's alignment conditions. And I have them all written down here. And for anything that you satisfied during these last couple sessions, you'll get to mark an experience. So let's look at Duke Silver first. He is of the good alignment and his condition is you endanger yourself to protect someone weaker than you. I think you satisfied that when you stepped in the way to save Mortimer. You put yourself between him
I'm
and
not
the wolves.
Weak.
Just kidding.
So I think that, I mean, do you agree? I think you satisfied that. All right. So you get an experience for that.
I feel like Duke and I are going to be farming XP off each other this entire campaign.
As best as you can. Now, Roxar, your condition is, you're the alignment chaotic.
That's correct.
And your condition is to spread a dangerous new idea. Unfortunately, I can't think of how you did that unless you can think of something that I'm forgetting.
I have not started spreading my ideas yet.
Did you charm the mayor?
Not yet.
Who charmed him?
No, you looked into his eyes and were like, tell me what you're
doing. Oh, that's right. That's right. Yes.
I think you spread the idea that this lizard creature is highly sexy. No, none of us know what it is.
Is that a dangerous
idea? I don't think that's dangerous.
Depends on which country you live in.
Depends if you're not a furry.
Okay. So, not now, but in the future, that could easily be satisfied. Connie Richards.
Yeah,
you
that's me.
Are of the neutral alignment.
That's me.
And your condition is to help an animal or spirit of the wild. I don't really think that happened.
Nope.
This past time, so we're going to pass on that.
You punched a wolf.
Mortimer.
Yes.
You are the evil alignment.
what?
And your condition is to shift danger or blame from yourself to someone else.
I did it like every six.
Wow. What a shithead you are.
I can't think of when you, like, well...
I, like,
ran.
You did run away from Duke as, like, he's, like, dealing with the wolf.
Yeah, like Duke right, jumped in to protect me, now. And then I kind of slunk away behind his giant form.
Wow. so I'm not married a coward.
Yo, Mort's a coward.
And Ember, you are the neutral alignment, and your condition is to discover something about a magical mystery. And you did cast Detect Magic and kind of help piece together a bit of information about the mist.
Information so about the mystery?
So I think that would qualify.
Thank you.
So everybody can mark XP if you met your condition.
Yay!
And then there are, after you go through bonds and your alignment conditions, there are three questions I ask, and for every yes, you get to mark an XP for one of those. The first being, did we learn something new and important about the world?
Yes.
Yes, I think
absolutely, yeah. That's definitely yes, so mark an XP for that.
Cool.
Did you overcome a notable monster or enemy?
We scared away the wolves after we killed one.
We killed at least one.
I'm willing to give you
Wait,
that
I
just
killed
because
one.
You did survive. You did kill one, and so did Duke.
Hell yeah.
You did survive an encounter that was very deadly, even though it was very mysterious how it happened to you.
Now, Josh, I literally overcame an encounter by climbing a tree.
So. You didn't even make it up the tree.
But yeah, everybody can bargain XP for that. And the last question is, did we loot a memorable treasure? This one I'm going to go ahead and say no.
That
really cookies.
So two XP?
Two XP
for most of us?
Hell yeah.
So as we go into this, can everybody just do a quick recap of how much XP you have total?
I got five.
Five.
And you get XP for failing a roll?
Yeah.
Every time you fail a roll. I'm going to need you guys to keep track.
Okay, because... sorry. I think I failed two, so I'm just going to go with five.
That sounds right.
Josh, I have eight experience.
You have eight? Ooh, okay.
Wow.
And you need seven plus your current level to level up. So you actually
what
are right
a
level
clinky dink.
Look at you.
God.
Mort, you said five. Ember, I don't think you failed any in that first session, so I guess.
Yeah.
The congrats on you,
three
bro.
Three that you got from this.
Yeah.
I think Matthew's going to be able to beat the
he loves the
final boss.
I got to start failing.
God amidst the waste. That sounds good. No, it's, that sounds terrible.
Yeah. And then Rockstar?
I have three.
Three. Okay. And that's enough of the just business portion of this. And
I just want to say I don't know for sure that I have five, but I think it's probably five or six, so I'm taking the five. So just in case people... don't email me in 6 months.
Roll a D100. That's how much experience you get.
Oh, no, that'd
six.
Be too many. He just
D100.
Immediately becomes a god.
Damn.
I got
Josh, you want me to tell you what I pick, or do you want it to be a surprise?
We're going to do the level up during this session, but you can go ahead and pick it now and then let me know then.
Okay.
So, yep. Okay, so we left off. You... Ismark fell face first onto the fucking ground, face planted, blackout drunk, and Irina, he was pounding on the door, screaming for Irina to let him in because he couldn't find his key because Mort stole it. And Irina opens the door, he face plants, and she just looks at y'all and says, who the hell are all of you? I've never seen you before. Like, what's going on? Did you hurt my brother?
Did you not leave him like this? We found him in the tavern and he invited us over.
Oh, God. Okay. I mean, I guess thanks for making sure he got home okay.
I mean, it seems like he's having a pretty rough time right
Ember!
Now. Oh, yeah, I've been here for a while. I've just been chilling out.
Can I do the classic walk up to, what's her name, Irina?
Yes.
I say as if I didn't, you know. And I want to do the bow and take hand and do a little kissy on the finger.
Can you remind me what you look like?
I'm a tall, lanky, angular human with sort of like brownish red hair.
Okay.
That's like super long.
Yeah.
Tied up in sort of like, I just want to be stereotypical rogue.
Yeah.
That, from like fantasy stuff like this. Not
like you got like a scar on your face or something cool?
Probably. Maybe like I keep my neckline covered, but every now and again you can see like rope burn around
shit.
It. Isn't that cool? Isn't that fun?
Someone tried to hang him.
Man, I got away. But yeah, he has like dark leathers. Very, very Danaus from...
Oh, that's good shit.
Very,
Sam Sykes.
Yeah.
Very Mashroom Coffin vibes.
Who? Per the thief character sheet and per Tim last time, he does have criminal eyes.
I have criminal eyes. But I have the ability to like basically hide my alignment from people. So.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I have dangerous eyes. So, hello, my lady. It's so good to meet you. My name is Mortimer, and these are my traveling companions, and thank you so much for your hospitality in here.
She looks very taken aback at that. Like, she kind of, like, okay.
And I want to hand her the key that I stole. Your poor brother dropped this, and I didn't want some... ne'er-do-well to find it, so here you go.
Okay. Man. She's kind of, like, looking at you and, like, takes her hand away very awkwardly. She eyes all of you up and down. She's like, so, with Ember here, I'm gonna assume you're with them?
Yeah. Yeah, I was with them earlier.
Are we going to discuss the reward?
What do you mean, reward?
Oh, we escorted your brother here, Ismark. He said he needed some strong adventurers to make sure he wasn't accosted, merely duties. I don't think he used the term deputized, but he definitely said that we were some sort of vigilantes to make sure no one hurt him on the way back to the house.
He did say that he was going to let us spend some time here since we were new to town and we were bringing money in. We were going to help try and, you know, get the town back on its feet.
I mean, we're a very talented group of individuals, as you can see.
We can waive the reward. How about this? You simply let us eat and drink and sleep here.
She does that whole thing where she just, like, covers her eyes and just... okay. Like, you... I don't know. Like, I don't know you guys, and I don't know if I can trust you, but the fact that you guys aren't from here tells me that, like, I mean, you're not as bad as some of the stuff that's around here, so I guess, God, did he at least seem coherent when he made the offer?
Like, oh,
well,
was no.
He
oh.
was able to sit in his chair.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay, fine. I'm just gonna go ahead and make this clear. And she just kind of like lifts up like the side of her shirt. Like I am armed. Like if you try to do something, I will fuck you up. Like,
don't worry, I can speak for everyone here, but Mort. Watch him.
Oh, come on, please.
I'll speak for myself though. That's
now
fine.
To go ahead and describe Irina for you. She has long crimson colored hair, very bright, vibrant red. Pretty stark difference from Ismark, surprisingly, who has kind of like that distinguished. Like he's 30 years old. He kind of went a little prematurely gray, but still a full head of hair. She's very kind of tomboyish in her outfit. She wears. Almost kind of businessy in a way, like she's very put together, very not truly upscale, like she's going to the ball formal, but she is dressed like one of a daughter of the mayor of a town might. But yeah, very, very kind of tomboyish in a way. Definitely does have a knife, you know, kind of concealed at her side.
Nice.
She grabs the like the cuff of Ismark's shirt, and she's like, "Okay, I guess." Let me warn you about one thing. And she's like dragging Ismark by the collar into the house. And like, she's leaving the doorway, just kind of like as if to say, just come on in. And she is just dragging him, off into like a side room. You look over to your right and there's like a foyer, like a sitting room. And she's like, so there's one thing you should know when you're here. And she props him up in a chair. And just kind of throws a blanket over his head. And then she kind of just points over into a side room that's across from the sitting room. And at this point you realize that, you smell something kind of funky in here.
Okay, fun.
Not pleasant. Ember, you've known about this.
Okay.
Because like you've been here for, let's say, a few hours at this point.
Yeah.
And you see across in the side room a coffin that is open
with a
very portly man
that makes sense.
With big twirly white mustache, white hair, and it's lined with like flowers in an attempt to try and contain some of the smell. But it's obviously, you know, after a few days, he's starting to age a little bit, definitely fermenting slightly.
Oh,
she's like,
oh, so we can get juicy.
So I don't know if Ismark mentioned that.
Is this your father?
That's our father.
So we were told he's dead.
Yeah. Okay. So he did give you that part.
He didn't say he was around.
Did he explain anything else about what happened here?
Did he explain anything else that was about here?
Amber has a handkerchief out.
He wanted to go somewhere private to talk about what's going on.
Okay. Well, let's not split hairs. You saw the scorch marks outside the house. You saw the big gashes in the ground. You saw the windows. You see the doors. Like, yeah, you see all that, right? This is our home. Yes. And... we were under assault for weeks. My father pissed off the lord of this territory and...
Strahd.
Oh, so you've heard of him. Cool.
Yeah. Madam Ava told us about him. Well, not about him. She told us that he was the Lord.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
About this tall, very colorful dress, lives in a tent, bakes cookies.
But you do know Strahd, right?
I mean, yeah, he's the Lord of this land.
Do you know the Vistani?
Now, as she's talking about this, out the window of the sitting room, like it's lined kind of with boarded windows, there's one window that there's kind of a seeing hole. You kind of, some of the mists in the area have cleared a bit.
Uh-huh.
And you can actually kind of see the shadow of what looks to be a gigantic castle up on the precipice, kind of looming over the
Josh!
Town.
Is that the place?
It's a place.
Is that Ravenloft? Are we here?
Are there
And it is very ominously just overlooking the town. It is not like right next door, but it is, you know, maybe a couple hours
I'm gonna down channel the street. My full Nika and fanboy over at Ravenloft.
But yeah, just to give you that's kind of the scene being set right there. That is in the background that you're able to see this for the first time. The mists before were too thick to really paint the pictures.
I like to think Strahd knows we're there and he's like, I'm giving a little peek. That's my Strahd voice. Hello, everybody.
Yeah, my father pissed off the Lord of this land. And let's just go ahead and get right into it. Strahd is awful. He's terrible and bad. And when our father upset him, he made it his mission to make our lives as terrible as possible. For weeks, our house came under attack from all manner of foul beasts. And eventually, my father just couldn't take it anymore. And his heart just gave out. And he dropped dead 4 days ago.
So he's been here for 4 days.
Yeah, he's been here for 4 days. The problem is, as soon as Strahd decided to make us his problem, No one in this town wants anything to do with us anymore. Huh. Nope. Huh. We're dead to them, effectively.
That makes sense, I suppose.
But I thought that Ismark was the mayor, so they kind of like have to care.
Oh, they don't, though. They really don't, see. The way the government, I guess if you could even call it that in this area, is, our father, and I guess now my brother, was the mayor. Yeah, that doesn't mean anything here.
Who has a hereditary mayor anyway?
What sort of hell society do you live in?
Well, I guess strong world.
To be honest with you, it's just because no one else really wanted to step up at that point. People know our father's dead, but...
So what does the title of mayor entail exactly if no one wants to listen to you? Is this like a, I don't know, do you have to give tribute to Strahd or what's the situation here?
Not so much tribute, but it's almost kind of like the pecking order here. If anything Strahd needs, he's a man of order, so to speak. He typically, I guess, works from the top down. And now this is where we are. No one in the town will help my brother, help bury him. And
what
with his bum leg, he can't do it himself. And unfortunately, and she kind of pulls her hair to the side and she pulls the side of her shirt and you see two sets of fang marks.
Oh!
Well, that's a nasty bite.
And she says,
that's hot.
I think... I mean, I don't know where you guys are from or if this is common there, but...
We're from Norhal.
I don't know where that is. Actually, you're not from Norhal. Norhal does not exist yet.
We're from Arkansas.
Like Arkansas. From Arkansas. I'm from the city, please. Thank
so, if you've never dealt with a vampire, yeah, that's what we're dealing with right now.
He bit you?
Can I?
Twice,
wait,
yeah.
Wait for it. Can I? Is it spout lore?
Yes.
Can I spout lore about vampires?
Plus your intelligence mod.
Yay, bad stats. Oh, I got a 10.
You got a 10.
Nice job.
So on a 10, the GM will tell you something interesting and useful about the subject relevant to your situation. So you actually have heard of this, and Drunk Rose vampires are not common, but they do exist. Maybe at this particular point in Drunk Rose history, way in the past, maybe vampires are slightly more prevalent before maybe Trent Thumble got around and hunted down. Who knows? Who can say? But what you do know is that the fact that Irina has been bitten twice and has not turned typically signifies that this is not just a goal of trying to satiate hunger or anything like that. This is typically done by vampires in an attempt to, I guess, turn a person or consort with a person in a way to where they are not just a mindless vampire. It's a way to kind of bring them under their control while still retaining their faculties.
Gotcha.
Not quite a thrall, but like...
Or is it exactly a thrall?
Maybe it is a thrall. Because I always think of thralls as being kind of mindless, but maybe...
Like a Renfield?
One other thing you do know is typically if a vampire just feeds on a person just for the sake of feeding through their otherworldly magic, they do just turn into a mindless thrall, obsessed with the idea of feeding. So this is different than a typical biting scenario.
Gotcha.
Josh, you're telling me that Strahd's Dio right now. That's all I'm hearing.
That's exactly
castle.
What I'm hearing.
Bless you.
Okay.
He's going to do the poses.
Have you seen the picture of Strahd, though, Jennifer?
I'm going to look
him up
right now.
He's on the stream right now, actually.
Yeah, it's on the stream.
Show me him.
He's very sexy.
He is a very handsome man.
Listen, I am all about this.
I'm just going to be
dark
haired Dio.
Googling pictures of Strahd in the background. I need more pictures of Strahd.
Yeah, 34 that's like... Strahd.
He looks like that the vampire dad from Dream Daddy.
Yes.
Who's also hot. Awesome. Damien.
So Ashy reveals this and says, Strahd's bitten me twice, and there's something about him. Just something about him. He can make you do anything he wants. And when my father said no to letting him see me anymore, it set him off.
So do you have a special relationship with Strahd?
Yeah, no. Other than knowing who he is and that he exists, I have no idea why he's apparently obsessed.
So do you remember the encounters that you've had with Strahd, or is that also a counter or an effect of the biting that you don't remember what happened?
I mean, I have vague bits and pieces that I remember of it. It's very broken up. All I know is that I have just these horrible nightmares of him, like ever since, every night. It's just ever since this has happened. So anyway.
I thunk Duke Silver's armor. Holy man, do you know anything particular about, there must be some way to keep, she said that he was a vampire? I'm sorry. We know
she said he was a vampire.
Yeah, it's that weird thing of like all of us sort of know a little bit about Ravenloft and yada yada yada. Yeah. Like you know something about the curse, I assume.
Do I?
He knows Torm, and that's about it. He's a fighter. He's not a thinker.
Okay.
Josh, can you remind me?
I will roll spout lore.
Okay, go ahead and roll, Jennifer. What was your question?
So our spells, I cannot remember like how it works. Like, should it be a thing that I only am doing a spell like when it's like really important? I shouldn't just be like trying to do spells willy nilly. Like, what are my like spell slots? I guess in this.
Okay, so. And we actually, we talked about this a bit last time, which will be a good refresher, especially for everybody in the chat.
For all of you at home and not for me at all.
The way Dungeon World works is that we talk back and forth, and if you say you want to do something and it fits certain criteria of the different moves in the game, that is when you roll. So in this case, for you, your cast a spell, that's one of the things on your character sheet.
Mm-hmm.
When you roll... if you roll a 10 plus, you cast a spell, no problem, and you can keep doing that as long as you roll well.
Interesting.
If you roll a 7 to 9, there are some drawbacks to it. You either draw unexpected attention to yourself.
Oh boy.
The spell is unstable, and you take minus 1 to your roll every time you try to cast it in the future. Or after it is cast, you forget it until the next time you prepare spells.
Okay. So you can, but there is, you don't want to just cast spells all the time. Like,
I mean, you can, because all you need in order to get the spells that you forget back is spend an hour meditating over your spell book, all your spells are back.
Because the reason I'm asking this is because I'm like, could I have contact spirits? If we want to know more about Strahd, seems like that could be.
There's a dead person. You have to talk to him.
Yeah, right?
It's like if you have a druid in your party and there's an animal, you talk to the animal. If there's a dead person,
you let your weird.
Oh, by the way, that was what I took for my level up was I could talk to animals.
Nice.
Yay! Now let's go back to Howard. Your spout lore, what'd you get?
I got a 4, so I roleplayed that pretty well.
Yeah, mark experience.
I've never encountered a vampire per se, so I wouldn't know how to handle them, Mortimer.
Yeah.
I bet you can take him.
And I will tell you what happens at a later period in time.
Oh.
Because that is what I do as a GM.
Stop!
Okay, so you do that. Duke does not really know what's going on. Now, Ember, did you want to try and contact the spirit of Irina's father?
I think I do. I think I've got to try.
Try out these new shoes.
So, how does that... Like, what do I roll? It's just purely a...
2d6.
2d6. Like, no... All right.
What it is.
Jennifer, I don't want to be rude, but roll good.
I'm going to try my best. I'm going to pick some good dice to do it with. I'm going to pick these two beautiful gay dice to roll with. That's decent. Well, 7.
And she doesn't add anything to it?
Plus your intelligence modifier?
Oh, okay. 7.
Probably 2. Yeah, it's plus 2.
Yeah, so 9.
So a 9. So you're able to cast the spell, but it is unstable in some way.
Uh-oh.
So choose to either draw and welcome attention. It disturbs the fabric of reality as it is cast. I'm going to kind of rule those as like they're more like on the unstable end of spells.
Okay.
Or after it is cast, the spell is forgotten and you cannot cast it again until you prepare.
I feel like we got to make things unstable. We're like doing a seance right now. Let's make it weird.
I feel like... By the nature of contacting a spirit, it's unstable.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right?
Yeah.
I feel like that makes sense for the situation. We'll spice it up.
Oh my god!
Make it a spicy bean.
So
this isn't mechanically optimal.
What if I want to talk to other spirits?
I'm kidding,
soon?
Everybody.
Now, just for my own visual representation of this, what does Ember use to cast those spells? Is Ember like a wand person, or...
Do I need an implement, or can it just be like...
You don't. It could just be your spell book, or you can just use your hands.
What if I have a really fucked up ring on one of my fingers? Like, one of those that's like, covers like your whole finger, basically.
Oh my god.
And so I just kind of go like, it's on my middle, it's on my middle finger. And I like, extend my hand, and like, you see little tendrils of like... pale blue, like, light kind of come
when
off of it.
You're stealing someone's memory in the Harry Potter world.
Extremely, yes. Yes. And it's different colors depending on the vibe of
sure,
the room.
Sure, sure, sure.
So this is a light
blue
ring. Vibe. It's a mood ring. I literally bought mood lip balm this week, so I'm very... If that tells you anything about my mental state right now, so let's go with it. I'm
extremely
it.
In the crystal zone.
I really am in the crystals. I have like a headband on right now. I'm extremely in the crystal zone.
How many salt lamps do you have?
I love it.
Not enough. Just the one up there. That's Tim's.
Okay. So Ember crosses out of the sitting room over to the side room where the body of Irina's father is kept, flips off this corpse.
Yeah.
Real magical.
Well, let's say in this case I'm doing, for those of you at home, sorry you can't quite see my hand, kind of like of this situation, like the middle finger is extended out, but my hand is like down.
Yeah, Jennifer's pointing forward and making it an alligator or an elephant. Yeah,
my hand's like
it's like a kiss the ring, but
yeah.
Yeah.
But the middle finger is like very prominent situation.
So Ember does this and the blue tendrils come out and they kind of wrap around the body.
Like caress the face.
Yeah. Caress, and then there's like a slight tugging motion, and then you see the spirit of this late man, and he's just kind of floating there in front of you, and you may ask him one question.
And that's just her, right? We don't see the ghost?
I'm going to go ahead and rule it in okay, actually, mm-hmm. Now, Ember, this is a new experience for you.
Yes.
And that typically, yes, you know that it's only you that can see them.
Uh-huh.
Something about where you're at in the mists and your magic Everybody can see this.
Magic is powerful right here.
Can I throw my dagger and it just goes like comically through it? Like,
no!
I don't want to like actually attack it. Josh, I only want it for the joke. If
you want to flavor that. Yeah, absolutely. Mortimer does that.
And then I turn around.
Bandit canonically tries to climb under my hat.
Oh, Bandit, I forgot about Bandit.
I have a right.
And Duke looks like he's about to crap his pants.
So he is everyone kind of like in the doorway staring at this and I'm like in the room?
Yeah, they're like head on top of head on top of head.
So Ember turns around to Mortimer and is like, you're embarrassing me in front of the spirit.
I thought I was strong.
Shut up. And then I turn back around and I'm like, I don't know what the... Now I've fucked it up because I don't know what to ask the spirit right now.
So.
because the whole
thing
is...
chilling.
Because we're trying to figure out what we're trying... Sorry, I'm talking out of character right now. We're trying to figure out what the fuck is going on. Like, why Strahd is so into Arena? Is that...
Oh, shit, are you dead?
Yes.
Goodbye.
I don't want to do that.
I get to ask you any one question? Yep.
Fuck!
Did I disturb your sleep?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, I know.
Sorry, what was your name?
Hey, what is it?
I
wrote
him
as Daddy in my notes.
I
Daddy Mayer.
Daddy
John Mayer.
I mean, his daughter's Irene. His son is Ismark, so he's like Ethaniel or something.
Now, you haven't asked his name. I will just part the kimono on that. It's Kolyan.
That's a stupid name.
What a fancy name.
Yeah.
Kolyan.
Okay, if you think that's dumb, wait until you see what Curse of Strahd calls mayors in this world, and I refuse to use that word.
Hell yeah.
They call them burgomasters, which
yeah, burgomeisters. That
like
means mayor.
Like burgomeister.
Yeah. That's
like
a German word for mayor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
I'm still going to use mayor because I won't admit that I didn't know that.
No, give us burgomeisters. What's wrong with you?
Give me those burgomeisters.
Okay. Retcon. It's
always
burgomeister.
Because in that one Christmas show, is Burgermeister Meisterburger is the guy's name.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in the year without... No, I forget which
that's Christmas from something.
One of those old like claymation Christmas movies.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm asking Mayor Kolyan.
Burgermeister.
Burgermeister Kolyan. Why is Strahd so obsessed with Arena?
Oh my god, you're obsessed with me. Arena says to Strahd.
I don't know, but
fuck.
he kept coming and I could not control myself, and it's very broken up speech as you try to speak to him, and he's like almost kind of flickering in and out of existence, like as he's talking to you. I wanted my to be safe, but he's too manipulative, and I finally resisted and it broke him. Please protect. And then he just fades out.
Oh, you guys saw that, right?
It looked like you had bad reception.
You must have T-Mobile. Just kidding. I'm on T-Mobile. T-Mobile. You get free Wi-Fi on flights sometimes.
So as the spirit of Kolyan disappears, Irina is still standing very strong at the moment, but you do see she is welling up slightly at seeing her father again, ever briefly. And she says, I guess you guys are welcome to stay here. I apologize for this, but with my brother, both like how he currently is, and between me being unable to go outside, I mean, it's kind of what we're dealing with at the moment.
Can I procure from one of my pockets a handkerchief and give it to her with a flourish? Here, my lady, no need to cry. Heroes are on the scene. And I wink at everybody.
Is that what you are, heroes? Oh,
certainly.
Okay.
We don't know how we got here. We don't know how we met each other, but I'm sure fate has something finally in store for Mortimer and the gang, I think is what our tentative adventuring party's name is, I believe. I forget. It's all hazy.
No, that's definitely...
Okay.
That's definitely not it.
Okay. Well, with that, she just says, so, I mean, you guys, if you guys want to go upstairs, I can try and whip you up some basic food to eat. You guys can get settled and maybe call it a night. And it's been several hours just between you since you've left the woods, since you visited Madame Ava, gone to the tavern. It's been several hours. And even though there you've not seen sunlight since you've been here, it is starting to get dark now. Mm-hmm. So what do you guys do? What do you want to do in this moment?
Duke is ready to settle down because he's taking a ton of damage. Trying to heal everyone, he is taking a total.
That's right, you have to hurt yourself to heal yourself.
Oh man,
11 damage.
Out of a maximum of how much for him?
He's got 25.
Okay. Yeah, you're so good.
I would offer. Duke would offer to take her brother up to his bed if that's what she wished.
Mm. No, go ahead and let him stay here. I mean, it's a minor bit of petty sibling revenge. I want his back to be real fucked up when he wakes up in the morning, though. I mean, you do what you can, right?
Hell yeah.
But in she's leading you upstairs and shows you where the bedrooms are. There are a couple of guest rooms with small twin size beds. Windows still boarded up in these rooms as she passes by them. They're very basically furnished, so like in each room, two twin size bed. One of them has like a small kind of like a sitting couch. Like what are those called that you have like at the end of the
chaise lounge situation?
Yeah, there's like a chaise lounge in the room in one of the rooms. And basic end tables. Like the house is nice, I mean, compared to everything else you've seen in Barovia so mm-hmm. far. But you can also tell that between what they've had to do to board up the windows and how you think there's a couple doors missing and you think, oh, that's what the coffin's made out of.
Oh, no.
It's like they did what they could.
Where is their food coming from?
This place, Josh, I don't want to be rude. This place sucks.
I think it's cool.
Oh, Tim. God, it's going to get so much worse.
They're not even going to have running water.
I hinted at this last time, but I've read the first, 30 pages of Curse of Strahd, and it's just but when it came out. So my whole brain is like, is this the town with the bleep in it, or what's happening? So I'm just on edge because I know I know much, much, much less than enough to make myself.
Tim, you're stressful. Like half spoiling it for us. now I know I have to be on my toes.
It's like
you have to watch out for the bleep.
Josh, I'm gonna leave and go into a basement to try to find never mind. Lol, joke.
So she kind of leaves you to your devices. What is everybody doing, or are you guys just kinda crash for the night at this point?
Whatever room Mort goes into, Duke's gonna follow him.
I'm gonna try to push the door shut.
He is that. He doesn't trust Mort that much at all. He's like, nah.
Yeah. I am just gonna go to bed.
Yeah, I think so. I think the Ember curls up in a ball on the chaise lounge. Like that's how I sleep.
So yeah, you start winding down for the evening. You sit. You guys start getting real as you've finally had a moment to decompress. You actually. Like, the entire day just washes over and you're like, oh my god, I'm so fucking tired.
Can I roll to hide that I'm crying?
What?
Sure.
I was about to make a joke how we're like...
Jennifer, look at her rolled! I rolled two ones.
Everyone knows you're crying.
Don't you have to try to find
spectacular
that.
Spectacular thing.
What happens when you roll two ones again?
Well, I mean, nothing happens. It's not like a crit fail.
I think that was the other game. I'm not going to Beyonder.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I'm not going to let you mark experience, but as you go to the privy, you try and hold your tears back, and everybody in the house can absolutely hear you just... like that bad, like, can't catch your breath.
I can't breathe! I can't breathe!
This sound has depression mist on it. Like, we're all super tired and, like, sad.
Push up! You can do this, Mort.
It's that kind of crying where you want to see yourself crying. Yeah! So Mort pulls out a dagger and he's staring at
wants to cry harder. Just get it out.
I'm going to throw up.
Hey, Mort. Mort, are you okay in there?
It's just like whenever Tim Lenning throws up in real life and he comes out and his whole entire face is bloodshot because I burst all the blood vessels in my face. Hey, what's up? Am I good? Max a cookie. I'm gonna eat a cookie. As like, it's like
Duke wants to try to give him a bear hug.
He's got nasty snot coming out of his nose.
Oh, it's okay, Mortimer.
Irina brings you guys just like some basic, like fresh made like crack bread.
Hell yeah.
She brings you crack just like rice. She's like, it's not much, but it's all we have. But anyway, I'm right downstairs in the master bedroom if you need anything. And so we're gonna call that. You guys are gonna make camp right now.
Yeah.
Cool.
So one question I have as you go to sleep, are you guys all just going to go to sleep or are you going to
like, huddle
amongst
up.
Yourselves first to discuss what's happening?
Probably
I think Duke would stay up first to let everybody get a decent like rest.
I think we probably should have a little like team meeting. Wow. Yeah,
Connie's definitely going to check on Roxar as a an animal, a poor animal that needs help. He's going to make sure that Roxar's wounds have healed. He's going to make sure that he's getting enough food.
Yeah, they're all on Duke.
I mean, I'm fine, but did you see the ghost?
Yeah. See stuff. Come on, you see that all the time in nature.
I did that.
There's all kinds of weird stuff going on in the woods.
It's
not ghosts.
What's wrong with you, land people? We don't.
Hey, land people. I don't see ghosts all that time.
Are you supposed to be in the ocean?
I'm supposed to be in the lava underground.
That's silly. Nothing lives in the lava. It's too hot.
Connie, have you seen Roxar? Like, he definitely lives in the lava.
Yeah, that's like that's my home.
Look, I couldn't tell you the last time. Well, I mean, I can speak to animals. I don't know if you can understand what he's saying, but
that's offensive, bro. Wow.
Before today, I don't even know if I could understand animals, but I can understand him, so clearly I can do that.
Understand this. And I do that. Triple H, suck it.
Oh, God. If there's nothing else, are you guys going to set a watch order?
Duke would go first.
I guess the answer is yes.
Okay. I mean, if nobody else wants to go for a like watch, because
that is not a loaded question in any way. That's like me as a that's not a loaded question. That's me genuinely asking, are you going to do that?
Liar. And since Mort's having a hard time, he's bawling his eyes out. He would offer to take Duke would offer to take Mort's watch as well.
Thank you.
Okay. So you said there's a couple rooms. So what's the room? Like, who's in what room? I feel like that's important to establish now.
Let's go ahead and decide that. It's two rooms.
That's my favorite shit.
Boys and girls. And Lizard gets, I don't know, a couch.
Well, Ember goes by they pronouns, but Ember can be in either room. Wherever the Chase Lounge is where Ember is, because that's what's important to them.
Are the rooms like across from each other, or are they side by side?
They're side by side, right next door to each
other. Okay. I think Duke would walk out between the doors. That's where he would put a watch and kind of leave the doors cracked. Well, there's no doors, so.
Josh, is this going to be like Haunting at Hill House? That show was so scary.
Tim is such a scaredy boy.
Let's not play this anymore. I don't want to play Christmas Rod. We're on a... it's ice now.
It's the terror.
We're snow. I'm scared.
Yes.
And we're scary.
Scary polar bears.
And tabletop fantasy worlds. There's a spider.
Okay. So is anybody else going to take watch now?
No.
Unlike 5e, there is not a mandatory, like, you have to get 8 hours of rest in order to consider a rest. As long as you get a few hours of sleep, very loosely defined, they consider that resting.
That makes sense to Timmy.
I think that Ember would volunteer to do a middle of the night watch, just like be perched like outside the doors. Like I feel like they would have acquired coffee somehow and be drinking it.
Like taking like a mug,
yeah,
and like a thin dish towel, put grounds in it, and pour.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like real rough coffee, but yeah.
And I'm like kind of sitting like perched like this. My knees up, my coffee. Okay.
So, as you guys make camp, two of you go ahead and roll to take watch. It's rolling plus wisdom.
Okay.
If I had known that, I would have taken it.
Oh, wow. Good thing a ranger
I got a 12.
Guys, a 12?
I got a 8.
An 8. Okay. Cool. And good to know. And as you guys are taking a rest, the benefit of getting to do that is half of your maximum HP, you recover that much hit points.
Oh, dang.
So I think that will put Duke right back at full. I think he's healed all other damage that's come in, or at least most of it. But
I healed Roxar and then the mayor.
Okay.
Amber was not injured in the past, correct? I don't think that I sustained injury. Okay.
Amber came out unscathed.
Hell yeah.
Emotionally, maybe. injured, but
I got fucked up, but I don't know how much health I have.
So, for Amber and Duke, Amber, you wake up in the middle of, well, actually, Duke, you go ahead and you decide it's okay, it's been about long enough, I need to get some sleep. And you go to kind of rouse Ember mm-hmm. to let her take over. And with your role, Duke, as she is walking out the door, and as you like are starting to kind of sit down in the Chase Lounge, you see a bright, a bright green light, like kind of between the slats on the window. What do you do with that? And do you point that out to Ember? Who
I would definitely point that out to Ember because you know, it's not anything I've seen before because Torm's is bright gold. So that is, I would point over and be like, look here. There's a green light that I've seen. Just keep an eye on it.
Got it.
Okay. Josh, do either of you go to the window and take a look?
Yes, Ember definitely would.
What's her watch? I'm not gonna.
Okay.
I'm going to sleep.
Hey, good luck.
I alerted the next person of the danger.
Okay, then. So, Ember, as you kind of go to the window and you peer between the slats, you see off at the corner of the town, kind of off to the northwest, like right along the edge. It's a little weird at first because it almost looks like the light is moving. It's not directly outside of our house, but it's very bright and vibrant. It's like crazy that you can see it as far away as you are.
Okay.
And as you kind of stare at it a bit longer, you really look at it, you realize those look like people. And from this distance, you see it almost looks like a ghostly procession. You see wavering images of bouncy women toting greatswords, woodwise men with slender bows, dwarves with glittering axes, and archaically dressed mages with beards and strange pointed hats. All of these and more are marching from that corner of town, just up the road. And then as you kind of look for a bit longer and peer into the distance, they're approaching the castle.
Okay.
That castle you see off in the distance, the shadow. And it's just a procession of them marching up there. And my question to Ember is, how long do you stare at this? I imagine this has caught your attention, like, what the fuck?
I think that I just keep watching it until they reach their destination, maybe.
Okay. So you spend the rest of your watch and until it starts being light outside and you're staring at
Holy shit.
As the first sign of light comes out, like, they kind of just slowly fade from your vision, and just all night, you just watched, like, just ghosts march up towards the castle.
But, like, not doing anything, like, not trying to attack anything, just going to the castle. Just lots and lots of ghosts. Okay.
Yep. You just see lots and lots of ghosts. Just all, they all look like they were armed and, like,
ready to on their fight way, ghost so. Wars.
But, yeah, that is what you see. Everybody else? Where are we at on time right now?
Right in an hour.
Do we want to break here?
Can I, real quick, ask, can you hear the background air now? With the door open?
Slightly.
That makes sense. But two, can you tell me again how sleeping heals you again?
So whatever your half max, like your max HP is, cut that in half, and that amount is what you gain. So Mortimer, you have 6 plus. You have 19, so then
I was at 16 because I think I got healed.
Oh yeah. You're maxed.
Yeah, you're maxed out at this point. So. Okay.
And I guess before that, do we want to go for a bit longer on this recording, or do we want to cut it here?
Up to you. I mean, I think maybe a little longer would be fine, but...
Okay, yeah.
You know.
I just wanted to make sure we're not going overly long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ember, the next thing you hear as like you kind of blink and realize I've been doing this all night, and I guess we're all fine. I think we're okay. You hear like a muffled shouting coming from downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And what just sounds like arguing.
Oh.
What do you do?
I think I would kind of like poke my head and like look at the bedrooms and like see like everyone's sleeping and it's fine and like nothing else is weird is going on. And then I'm going to go downstairs.
Okay. Do you wake anybody up and bring them downstairs with you, or are you just going to go check out what it is first?
I think I'm going to go by myself.
You run downstairs to check, and you kind of like look around for a bit, and you locate the source of the loud arguing to be the sitting room where you were with Irina
mm-hmm.
the night before, and you see a sprawled out Ismark in the chair. You see a upturned bucket of water at Irina's feet. Ismark is dripping wet, and you now recognize that they were just arguing. The voices you heard were the two of them, and then they you kind of round the corner.
Yeah,
she's saying it's like, you brought people you don't know into our house. Like, what were you thinking? Yeah, they seem nice, and then she sees you. She's like, sorry.
Quick, important, possibly important point. Is it normal for a procession of green glowing ghosts to be walking towards the castle all night with weapons?
Yeah, it is. They're not threatening. I mean, they're really not even, I guess, ghosts, if you can call them that. It's just, she looks over at Ismark and she just says, like, I don't know, like memories, kind of. And he just kind of shrugs his shoulders and nods. She's just, I mean, we've established you're outsiders. You aren't from Barovia. You've never been here before. You're also not the first. A lot of people have come through here. A lot of people.
And have left, or what happened to them is what I'm asking.
She kind of looks down and looks like really kind of like she doesn't want to say it. She's like, I mean, do you really want me to answer that question?
I mean, yeah, actually, I think we need to know what we're dealing with here.
People come, people try and fight back, and then that's what happens. And she's kind of just gesturing off into the direction of where you saw the procession starting from.
Okay, well, information noted. That's, I'm gonna go. It seems like I've interrupted some family business. I'm just gonna go talk to
him. Sorry, I don't mean to be rude. We'll try and keep it down,
but I
have words to have with him.
I'm backing out of the room while still facing them. I go up the stairs.
And I guess at this point, are people starting to rouse? Do you wake everybody up, or?
Yeah. I would go in, and I kind of feel like this is a really deciding moment in Ember's characterization right now, how I do this. This is a hard decision. So I go in to where Mortimer is sleeping, and I rip the covers off. I'm like, wake up.
He's probably just like laying in like the fetal position, arms wrapped around his knees, and just go, is it morning already?
Some shit happened, so you know, let's go. And then I go into the other room where
I do not get up.
You don't get up. Oh my god,
that sounds very Mortimer.
That does sound very Mortimer. I go in the other room where Connie and Rox are, and I do a very like, hey, time to get up. Time to get up.
Connie sits up, and she's got a shirt on that says, don't talk to me until I've had my gorp.
So,
and then she lifts up the pillow, and Bandit's sleeping under it.
Oh, bandit!
Now that you guys have made camp and rested, and we'll get to everybody else in just a second, just I wanted to do this while Connie is waking up. You level up whenever you make camp and rest and have enough experience. Now, Connie, you can talk to animals.
Yay!
Flavor that how you can do that however you want.
We have our raccoon here.
I've got a kitty in my chair right now.
Oh, it's a kitty.
I think Connie would just attribute it to like the misty air and all the other weird stuff that's going on. It's like, this is a thing that happens now.
There's ghosts.
All the birds outside, if there were any birds, are just yelling, hey.
Also, Matthew, I definitely thought that you were going to say you lifted up your pillow and there was a gorp under
there.
You don't sleep on your gorp. Come on.
Okay.
Gorp does not
maybe
make
on some
pillow.
Oats, but not on the gorp.
Does Roxar get up out of bed?
Roxar struggles to get up, but he does get up.
And then finally go back in and wake up Duke Silver, because Duke Silver did his dues and was up doing the watch, so I let him wake up.
More well, at the second time you get in, he sort of like throws his long legs off the end of the couch, a couch bed.
What's he wearing to sleep?
He just went to go sleep in his leathers.
Oh man, I was hoping it was a little underpants.
But he drapes the cover that he was sleeping in, like, over his head.
Oh my gosh.
And he just, like, shuffles downstairs.
Now, while it is not quite as loud as when Ember went to investigate, and you don't know she investigated, but as you all kind of descend the stairs... Oh, I guess just from my own... understanding as the person I am as a real life human, does anybody make their bed?
Oh God, no!
You're not gonna like
this character. I want to know that element.
I think Duke would.
I think realistically, Connie would have slept in a sleeping bag on top of the bed, and she would have rolled it up when she woke up.
It's funny. Same time, Duke slept in his armor. So,
oh, gross.
What about Roxar?
Yeah. Roxar absolutely does not make his bed. Absolutely does not.
Duke somehow takes zero penalties for sleeping in his armor. Like, I like it. It's just
me. I think it's comfortable.
This is my gorp.
Doesn't chafe.
Feels like home.
Yeah. Did this for years. Come on.
Mortimer, do you make your bed?
No, because I'm wearing like my sheet on me. So
okay.
And Ember was on the chaise lounge, so it's not really like a bed.
Gotcha. Okay, but as you all go downstairs, it's not as loud as it was before. You do hear some faint, what sounds kind of like a heated discussion is happening. Are any of you going to kind of make your way towards that room where that's happening, where you assume your, I guess, not benefactors, but like your hosts are?
Yeah, I'll just pop my head in real quick.
Well, I think, number one, Ember kind of pauses and it's like, they're having some family issues. Number one, before we talk to them, I should probably let you know there were a constant stream of ghosts walking down the town last night.
I have to go to the bathroom. You just hear sobbing from the bathroom again. Okay.
Is that normal here?
Apparently, yes.
Okay.
Is that normal anywhere?
Here it is. Apparently
here it seems bad. Arena said that they don't try to hurt anyone, and basically implied that it's the ghosts of all the adventurers that came here and died. I'm sure we're fine, though.
All the
the ghost of Kolyan comes through the wall. Normal is relative, and then just
whoa.
No, that doesn't happen. Sorry.
I said that I lived in Mastwick or Carr? I'm an outcast of the Dark Blades. Remember that part?
I think you said Carr.
Yeah, my grandparents live in Arkansas, and that's where I was raised. It's a little backstory. Okay,
is everyone from Arkansas in some way? Did we decide that?
That's where we came from.
Sure.
I feel like that word comes up a lot.
Arkansas.
Because Arkansas is across the channel from present-day Norhal, so the whole thing is that the weird annihilation bubble was getting bigger, so... I don't think we nailed down exactly where that is with a mountain, because there's like a mountain range separating where like Newfoundland land-ish is towards like stuff like that, Shadow Spark Keep. Then about like 100 miles to the west, there's like a huge mountain range, and that separates Norhal proper from the rest. Oh, actually, I commissioned maps, and I haven't opened them yet. I should open them now.
Fool.
I'm an idiot. Nope.
Why isn't this unfolding?
No, I did not commission. The maps that were done, I bought.
Okay, so as you are all kind of waking up, collecting yourselves, I imagine eventually someone probably is going to go see the host, be like, hey, we're hungry, what's up?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was going to shuffle down. It's like, so does this offer breakfast or...
Connie like, kicks Mort in the shins, and as she's cradling Bandit in her arms, and she's like... Thank you so much for letting us stay here last night. You know, it really beats just being out in the woods. I mean, well, I love being out in the woods, but these are really, it's a really weird place. And I'm super honest, it's a little scary.
Irina actually gets a good laugh. Like, it's, yeah, I gotta say, Connie, was it? You're actually handling this pretty well, I think, all things considered.
Well, you know, it's natural. It's natural here.
Part of the ghost ecosystem.
It's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
So, she's like, yeah, I'll whip you up some breakfast. Again, we don't have much. It's really just going to be more bread and rice. But
do you have cinnamon rolls?
If you need help.
Look, I love that crack bread you gave us.
What is crack bread? Someone please tell me.
He said crack bread, and I was like,
"You guys have never had crack bread?"
No, I don't know what that is. No.
Sorry. So, are you saying cracked or crack?
Crack bread.
Okay,
crack
bread
or cracked? Yeah.
Oh, okay, so bread with cocaine in it, or is it crack? Is crack cocaine, Molly?
Oh, it's like it's got like stuff.
Molly's not sure.
You just had three drugs in once.
So crack bread is just Molly. Like homemade, like really crispy, good bread. I guess that's just like a Midwestern.
Yeah, I've never heard of that before. No. It sounds
fresh
great.
I'm from the Midwest, great. And I've never heard of this, Josh.
Our beds
my
and we eat crack beds.
Always talks about it. So.
It doesn't have butter or gravy on it. I'm not really interested.
I mean, I've never met a bread I didn't like.
So true.
Yeah. It's good. It's homemade bread. It's... And you guys are sitting in what appears to be like what used to be a very nice dining room. It also has kind of fallen into a bit of disrepair as they've had to use it for various protection implements or coffin uses in the house.
Oh, yeah.
And you guys sit down and you're eating. And
hey, can I ask Mark? I got a really weird question for you.
Yeah, you go ahead.
He mouth is full.
Why haven't you buried your dad yet?
That's a great question.
He, you know, chews on that for like an uncomfortably long time. Like he's like, it's that almost comedic. Like he's gonna chew this bread for as long as he can, as he thinks of the way to answer it.
And Connie just stares at him, unblinking, smiling only slightly, just waiting for an answer. Head tilted a little bit.
So, hi, good morning. It is nice to meet you in a state where I'm not just. Smashed. I really apologize for that, and I appreciate you, I guess, helping me get home, and I hope the amenities were nice upstairs. As far as why I'm gonna really apologize about my dad thing.
Yeah, so he's there. Like, she, like, leans back in her chair. She's like, he's right there. I see him. Why isn't he, like, in the ground?
Or burnt.
So... One,
you don't want to burn him because, you know, you need the fertilizer so that you can help more trees grow.
I mean, partly that, yeah, and we just, you know, we don't believe in that here. And the problem is, I mean, one, he very ungracefully, still a little bit drunk, probably, puts his leg up on the table and he's like, I mean, this from the past few weeks has happened.
Yeah, so about that, So what happened to your leg? Wait, I'm sorry. I'm getting off track. Do you need help burying your dad? Because I'm not going to lie. If we're going to be here, staying here for a little while, maybe it would be nice to make the place more like a home.
It's unpleasant.
I mean, I wouldn't say no to the help. I mean, that's honestly why he hasn't been buried yet. Is
you don't have a shovel?
Point me in the direction.
I'll jump up and I'll help bury him.
I'm not trying to be like rude when I say this. Have you seen my father? And he kind of gestures.
We saw him last night. He seemed very vibrant for a dead person. And he
not exactly what I mean. He's like gesturing with his hands to imply my father is a very large man.
Oh.
And then he shows us his arms and he is most small. He has not gotten those serious gains.
It's partly that, and I don't know how much my sister told you, but no one in this town wants anything to do with us. I have asked, I have tried to get help, and no one, like, people just, no one will answer their doors for me. Anyone I have been able to talk to just shuts their door in my face, and they just won't.
Well, I'm sure the five of us could carry it together.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll tell you, you know, with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and Bandit makes 6 happy faces around the town, you know, we might be able to cheer everybody up, give them a little bit of hope, get some pep in their step, and maybe bury some bodies.
He kind of looks down and returns to eating, and he's like, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think there's anything we can do for this town.
Well, you're a grumpy Gus.
What makes you say that?
And now that you see him in the light and, like, not pissed drunk, you can see he has just dark circles under his eyes. He's just like, it's, yeah, you know what? Yeah, I am. Yeah, I'm mad. I'm pissed. I'm grumpy. We have dealt with so much. My father is dead because of all of this. Yeah, you know what? I'm a little mad. And just because now Fraud decided he's pissed at us, no one in this town wants to help us anymore. They've never had any issue with us before, but as soon as he marks us and has an issue with the way we're doing, now no one wants anything to do with us.
Well, it sounds so like because your dad said no to Strahd, that Strahd tried to destroy your village as a message?
Oh, not the village, just our home.
Can I ask a question? How did you stop Strahd from destroying your home?
We didn't. To answer one of your other questions, the reason my leg got busted up is one of his big dogs or wolves got in, and while we were able to stop it, it got at me.
Wait.
As soon as our father dropped dead, though,
oh,
magically they just decided.
Did you say you said wolves?
Yeah.
How long ago was this attack?
I mean, these attacks have been constant for a few weeks now.
When did they stop? Oh, wait, how long ago did they stop?
You said your
dad
was for dead 4 days?
Yeah. So, I mean, they stopped 4 days ago.
And we've been here for like 2 days? So we got attacked by dogs like 2 days ago? Or like a day ago? 2 days ago?
Yeah, you got attacked by dogs yesterday.
Yesterday, gotcha. Mm. Was hoping it was some sort of correlation, yeah. You know, classic.
We've had some encounters with some of Strahd's wolves as well.
Oh, so you've seen them. You know how bad they are.
They can be killed.
Easily, not even a challenge.
But, I mean, I hate to put you out. And again, I'm sorry that you're having to stay here with this. If you're offering, I'm not going to say no. I appreciate it. We can take him to the cemetery just right down the road. It's... I would really appreciate that.
Quest number one, bury this guy.
Bury my dad.
Bury that dad.
Bury that dad.
It wouldn't be a problem
bury
at all.
Dead daddy.
And I actually think that's going to be a good place to stop.
That's a perfect place
dad
to stop.
Dad burial is upwards of one of the best places to stop.
Yep.
Okay. So thank you very much for listening to this episode of Geeklings Random Encounters, Curse of Norhal. That's an easier shorthand to call it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Twitter handles now.
Sure.
I know Tim froze. Oh, there he's back. If you would like to get in touch with us, you could find us at Geekly Inc. on Twitter. If you want to find any of us individually, Tim, you lead it because I don't want to fuck up the order because that's going to be chaos if I do that. As soon as we put this out of order, it's going to be a disaster.
For sure. The order is longest.
Tim, Jennifer, Matthew,
subscriber,
Matt,
it's
Josh,
okay.
It's Howard.
It's
okay.
Person
okay.
From main cast,
right.
And then in subscriber order. Thank you again. You can find out our schedule for streaming. We're not super good at posting the schedule No. Twitch is not our main nut, but we have a fun, a great fun, loving time there. So thank you so much, everyone, to Twitch. You can follow me on Twitter to find out all sorts of other things, not just when we stream Twitch, but maybe what mini I'm painting or me posting my feet at Tim Lanning.
Oh, you can find me on Twitter at Jennifer Cheek, where you can see me tweet about Star Trek.
You can follow me at Matthew M. Morris, where I don't tweet.
You can follow me at Punk1290. I tweet sometimes.
I tweet sometimes.
You can follow me at JW Scalf, and man, it's just a mess when I tweet.
Such a thought.
You can follow me at the Subpar Hojo, and I rarely post anything.
So come on down, Darth Vader.
I think Howard shows the party most skin out of all of us, but that's because he's posting those gains. I haven't looked at.
That's true.
I haven't posted them like.
Yeah, months. I haven't seen him recently, but you know
he's doing them.
Post more games.
Thank you so much, Josh, again for dungeon worlding us.
Yes,
of course.
Yeah, Josh, keep us in your dungeon.
If you didn't get enough action and adventure on this episode of Curse of Norhal Random Encounters, go over to GeeklyInc.com and find out about all the other wonderful shows that Geekly Inc. does, like Drunks and Dragons and Granny's Adventures,
yeah,
and Cthulhu and Friends and Transformation Sequence. And hey, you know what we really appreciate is when you get on iTunes and you give us a 5-star rating and review, which I will maybe sometime read on this show. Also, you can head when you're back over at when you do that, then you go back to Geekly Inc. Then you go to the store and then you buy some swag. So give some money.
We get like $3 if you do it.
And hey, if you're around Atlanta in August or September, you can go see the live show at Dragon Con for what's that show called? Greetings Adventures. There we go.
That's right. Yeah, that's
tickets
us.
Are on sale now.
Yeah.
Tickets are on sale now. Bye bye.
We should make that our pin tweet.
Yes,
we
should.
And then I ran out of things to say, so then I look at the camera and say that was
that
random.
Was random.
Random.
Donate to the Trevor Project.
Yeah, donate to the Trevor Project.
Donate to the Trevor Project.